Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports. The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf Sports Edge. I'm your host, Rick Wolf. Well, if we have time later on in the hour, I want to talk about the relationship between travel teams and high school coaches and programs. Now, clearly, they become very much intertwined, and that relationship really has a major impact on today's athletes. But, you know, first up, I feel compelled to talk about the women's soccer team routing Thailand 13-0 in the World Cup this past week. And as you know, that lopsided score got a lot of attention in the media, and I received a number of emails about it. And we'll open the phone lines right now at 1-877-337-6666, as I know a lot of people have a lot of different opinions about what took place and the reaction to it. So let me first say I've tried to break down the various issues into various chunks so we can better discuss in a more fluid way. For starters, was it wrong for the U.S. team to score so many goals? Well, bear in mind, of course, that the way the World Cup is set up, the rules are very clear. If there's a need for a tiebreaker in the first round as to which teams would advance in the competition, they turn to goal differentials, and that which means that it's definitely in your best interest to score as many goals as you possibly can. So, even though Thailand was beaten badly by the American women, well, the team from Thailand, they knew the rules going in as well. There was no, you know, surprise to them that this is how the rules were set up. Okay, but in terms of sportsmanship, well, this is where I do have something of an issue. When the score in a soccer match is 5-0 or 6-0 or 7-0, whatever, in my opinion, that's when it's time to calm down the celebrations over the goals that are being scored. Let's be honest. If you're up, you know, 7-0 in a soccer match, that game's over. Now, I've read a number of the responses from the American women players defending their actions, saying how cool it is to score a goal in the World Cup, and therefore the celebrations for each goal scorer, well, that was just it was natural and it was spontaneous, and they had every right to go out and celebrate. Now, I'm not suggesting that it's not a big deal for a player to score her first goal in the World Cup. It is. But this is where a sense of decorum, common sense, and good old-fashioned sportsmanship, they all come into play. Yeah, if you score a goal against an overmatched team, well, you can certainly be happy. You can high-five your teammates and so on. But let's be honest here. There's a big, big difference between scoring the winning goal in the last minute of play in a close or tie game as opposed to scoring the 8th or the 10th or the 12th goal in a total rout of an opponent. Now, just imagine this. If the tables were turned, and it was a team from some other continent beating Team USA 13-0, and that foreign team was out celebrating each goal as if it was New Year's Eve in Times Square, well, how would you as a fan, how would you like that? Would you be concerned about a lack of sportsmanship? And that's pretty much how I see this. And if you want to discuss this, let's get it done right now, because I do think, obviously, the American women play again today against Chile. I want to see how that works out. But let's talk about what happened here and what kind of, you know, response, what kind of image does the American national team, what does that look like to the rest of the world? 1-877-337-6666. Let's get right to it. Let's start with Mike up in Connecticut. Mike, good morning. You're on the
good
fan.
Morning. Good morning. Thank you. If does the referee have in his power to yellow card a team for a bench, like a bench celebration? Can they put an end to it right away after like maybe 4 or 5 goals? Sort of, you know, give the old yellow card warning, and that you might have to play down a player if for some reason it went on to, you know, like, are Mike, you, this is like your warning kid. Don't they do something like that?
Mike, that's a very good question. I am not a super expert on soccer rules, but I would assume that if the celebration goes on too long, or perhaps in the referee's estimation, it's just getting just overboard. I imagine they could probably give a yellow card. They can certainly give a warning to the coach saying, hey, you know, let's tone this down a bit here. It's now 5 or 8-0. I don't know if they'd give a yellow card for that, but I imagine they could. I just don't know. Perhaps somebody who knows the rules better than I do can call in this morning and tell us that. But that would have been something worth at least, you know, thinking about. You know,
when it goes to the thing is, when I've never understood the stoppage time. I always thought the game was 90 minutes and it was the time was over.
Yep.
But after a goal is scored, yeah, there is a time of, you know, a little transition before they have the center face off again, or the kickoff, you know, the starting kick.
Right.
After a while, they have to, you know, it's like, let's get on with the game. I mean, the last thing you want, don't you think after that amount of time of running around that maybe, you don't want 7 minutes of starting of extra time because you were celebrating goals. I mean, I think I'm trying to get out of there if I can.
Both excellent points, and I would assume, of course, I don't have any direct knowledge of this, but I assume that somebody somewhere from the World Cup must have sat down with the officials, the referees, as well as the coaches, and said, you know, this is getting overboard. It's just too much.
I'm going to listen for the rest of the time period, because that somebody with more knowledge will chime in on this. I'll let you know, because it makes it better for me, you know, to watch the rest of the competition.
I got you, Mike. Good call this morning, and I appreciate it. Let's go over to let's go to Bob out in Long Island this morning. Bob, good morning. You're on the fan.
Hey, good morning. You know, my take on this thing is I understand them wanting to score as many goals as possible.
Yes,
because of the goal differential,
yep.
And it's a tournament. I understand that. But for them to be doing backflips at 9-0, it's bad sportsmanship. And I think in this politically correct culture that we're in, I think if this was the USA men's team that did this, I think you'd see a lot more people outraged. I think there's a lot of people in the mainstream media that are afraid to criticize it because it is a women's team.
Well, you know, Bob, it's funny. There was this whole thing sort of blew up in all sorts of social media, and it was one of the tweets I saw from Abi Wambach, who the highly celebrated soccer player for the women's team. You know, she said in one of her tweets, "Well, if this had been the men doing this, nobody would have cared." I'm thinking, like, that's not necessarily true. And I think if it had been the men and doing this kind of thing, we'd have the same conversation this morning. I think, you know, there's a sportsmanship is gender blind, and the fact is, if you're doing, you know, backflips and going nuts when the score is 8 or 10 or 12 or 13-0, no, that's just not good sportsmanship, whether you're a male or a female. And I think that somebody somewhere has to bring the team together as the head coach and say, look, this is not right. Enough,
right?
You know, I mean,
yeah, you're correct. What needed to happen there was the coach needed to pull them in together and go, hey, listen, take it easy, continue to play hard, but let's not overdo this, because, you know, if you were on the other side of that, you wouldn't be happy about that, you know.
I mean, let's face it, and Bob, thanks for the comment. You know, that's true, and I mentioned a few minutes ago, turn this around, if the situation had been reversed and somebody, a team from Thailand, was beating the American team 13-0 and they were going nuts after every goal, I don't think the Americans would feel very, very good about this. They would sort of say, well, come on now, that's enough already. Stop this. This is nuts. Again, the rules are in place. Everybody knew the rules going in that due to the rule, the goal differential, you got to score as many goals as you can in the first round. But, you know, this is not really good sportsmanship, no matter how you slice it. No, there's no way to defend the actions. Yes, it's fine for the women to celebrate and high-five each other after a goal, but after you score so many, enough already. I mean, this is really, and a lot of the, I read some commentators from overseas were saying the same thing, like, what are you guys doing? We get it. You know, you guys are winning. We're winning big. But why were all the histrionics and celebrations? Let's go over to Chuck in Long Beach. Hey, Chuck, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning, guys. I agree 100% with all the comments that were just made by the last caller and by you. If you remember the Dream Team and some of their victories by 50, 60 points, I mean, you know, first there's a lot of celebration and high fives after big dunks and all of that stuff. But, you know, eventually it's like, get on with it. Don't embarrass anybody. But a lot, you know, that goes on everywhere. So as far as like the overreaction, okay, I think they get a pass for having an incredible game of scoring a record number of goals, blah, blah, blah. Let's not get too bent out of shape about it. And it's not, we haven't besmudged the U.S. Culturally around the world because we celebrated after some extra activities or whatever. But my bigger concern would be, let's start getting some of this stuff on the field cleaned up, like the ridiculous flopping and, you know, getting the offsides right and, you know, those kinds of things, and a little less worrying about who's celebrating on the sidelines. So,
Chuck, you know, I hear you loud and clear. Thanks for the call. You know, the thing is that, in fact, I was talking with my son-in-law about the situation yesterday, and he had mentioned also the men's basketball team, the Olympics, the Dream Teams, and this kind of stuff. And, you know, and again, that's a long time ago now, going back to the 90s. But the fact is, yeah, these images, unfortunately, these over-celebrations, you know, winning by big, big numbers in the Olympics and basketball, or in this case, the World Cup and women's soccer, unfortunately, these images tend to sort of linger and hang on. As far as flopping in soccer, well, that's been a problem for, you know, years, and I don't know if they've done much to try to correct that or to get a, you know, figured out how to do it, but obviously, if you watch a soccer match and, you know, somebody seems to be, you know, there's contact and a player goes down like they've been shot. I mean, you sort of say, well, how come he's in such agony? How come in 13 seconds he's back on the field running around again? I don't know how to correct that issue. But again, I know obviously that's been a real, you know, thorn for soccer officials for years. All right, let me take a time out here. And obviously we're talking right now about this, the legacy, if you will, the impact of whether that was good sportsmanship by the women's soccer team to be celebrating so mightily after they were scoring so many goals against Thailand, an overmatched team last week. 1-877-337-6666, that is our number. As I said, let me take a pause right now, get some commercial messages in. Chris Lopresti has your update. When we return, we'll go back to your calls. Stay with me. I'd be remiss if I didn't tell everybody, of course, remind you at all, it is Father's Day today, and to paraphrase the great late Ralph Kiner, to all you fathers out there, happy birthday. Okay, we're talking right now about what happened with the U.S. women's soccer team and if they crossed the line with all their celebrations after scoring 13 goals against an overmatched team from Thailand. We're taking your calls at 1-877-337-6666. I just heard from our old buddy, our good friend Steve Callis, who went back and did some quick research and found that, in fact, in the World Cup, there are rules that basically put the officials and give the officials the power to pretty much penalize a player who is, how should we say, over-exerts their celebrations when it comes to scoring a goal, whether it's taking their shirts off or doing some sort of making hand gestures or political protest, whatever it might be, they do have the power, the officials working the games, to pull out a yellow card. The problem is, as Steve points out, that this rarely happens, that the referees sort of look the other way when it comes to celebrations. That being said, the question I have for you this morning is, were they out of line? Were there women's players? Were they going too far on this? Because honestly, you know, yeah, we know you should be scoring a lot of goals in the opening round, but why all the grand celebrations when clearly the game has been decided long, long before, when the score was only, you know, 4 or 5 nothing. To be going nuts when it's you're up by 7 goals or 10 goals or 12 goals seemed a little bit over the top. And let's get back to our callers here. Let's go to Tom over in Madison, New Jersey. Tom, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Oh, hi. How are you doing today?
Yes, Tom.
I would agree with you if we were talking about 10-year-olds playing, but this is the World Cup.
Yep.
And it is so hard to score a goal, you know, that their emotions take over, whether it's the first goal or the last goal.
Yep.
I was very upset when people were trying to get all over the women for celebrating. I mean, they were just playing their hearts out, and they've got to do this until the end of the game so they don't let up. If they let up and don't let their emotions take over, when they play that next game, they'll start out all stale.
Now, Tom,
so
I totally
disagree with
you. Yeah, but I disagree with you. I hear you loud and clear that certainly the rules are very strict. That in the first round you got to score as many goals. Who knows? Maybe some other team wins 14-0. The fact is, or 13-0. The fact is, I get that, but I'm just suggesting that, you know, when you score that many goals, clearly Thailand was overmatched. You know, at some point you call off the dogs. The girls, the women can still celebrate. I get all that. I get they can celebrate, but not to the extent that they were celebrating. And I know they defend themselves as saying, well, you know, as you said, it's so hard to score a goal. It's so difficult. It's a World Cup. It's a big deal. We get all that, but tone it down a bit, because come on now, this is not like it's a 0-0 match. It's 13-0, for goodness sakes.
But how do you tell them that? What do you mean tone it down? I mean, what's the definition of tone it down?
Well, at this level, my sense is that these women are all terrific soccer players. They played a lot of soccer in their life. They know exactly when the game is over, in the sense that we've now defeated this team. We may still have another 45 minutes to play in the match, but the fact is we know we've defeated this team. So it's nice to score a goal. You can run around. You can give your teammates a hug, give them a high five, but that's it. I mean, we don't need all this other nonsense like it's the game-winning goal in the last few seconds. That's just too much. I mean, come on. This is.
I feel bad for the women, because hopefully this won't affect them, all this negative publicity going into the next.
Well, I don't think it'll affect them at all. I mean, I think they'll, because obviously they're very, very, the reactions that I've read from them, they're all very defiant. Like, no, we're entitled to do this. This is cool to score a goal in the World Cup. It makes no difference what the score is. So when they play today against a team from Chile and they score a goal, they'll do the same thing. They'll go nuts again. Again, this is a top-rated team in the world, so it's sort of expected that they're going to score goals and do well. But anyhow, Tom, I hear you. I just think the amount of exuberance they exhibited was a little over the top in terms of a sense of common
sense.
Well,
I was just the opposite. I felt like it showed that they were really on top of their game. And, you know, I was just glad to see that, you know, that they started out strong. I mean,
well, Tom, let me ask you this.
Chile's supposed to be ranked lower than Thailand.
All right, so let's assume today, let me ask you this. You're watching the game, and let's say the score is 13-0 again, or the score is 16-0 or 20-0. Are you still going to sit there and say, I feel so good for the American women? They're celebrating because they just scored their 19th goal or 20th goal. I mean, is that really how is it going to go down?
Well, I hope they win. That's all I do.
Well, we all hope they win.
I don't think they're going to score 13 goals again. I mean, that rarely happens.
Of course, but I'm saying,
Time I remember that was Brazil got beat 10-0 by the Germany men, and it was like, in Brazil.
Yeah, well, again, it does happen occasionally, and Tom, I hear you. Thank you for your call. The fact is that, you know, if they do win another big number, just hopefully somebody is saying, or the coach is saying, you know, ladies, let's sort of keep this in perspective here. We've won the match. It's already 5-0. But, you know, enough already with the major celebrations because there are rules, according to Steve Callis, that, you know, the refs are allowed to basically penalize the team if they go too far overboard with their celebrations. Let me move on. Let's go to Alyssa in New York City. Alyssa, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm good. I think that if you want the women to stop celebrating so much, they're going to have to change the rules and not, you know, not have a system where more points is better. Because in my opinion, they were celebrating the fact that they're, you know, doing better in the tournament. They're not rubbing it in the other team's face.
Well, I hear you on that, Alyssa. But I mean, the fact is, they may not. And it's put this way, it may have been not their purpose to rub it into the face of the team from Thailand. That may have been inadvertent, but the fact is they're still responsible, in effect, for their own celebrations, and they should have at some point looked around the field and said, well, there's a team from Thailand. They're being embarrassed not just on national TV but around the world. So they're sitting around, standing around, watching us celebrate, having a good time, going nuts. And, okay, another minute to go by, we'll score them again. And once again, the celebration begins all over again. I mean, at some point, you got to say, you know, enough's enough. I mean, we've made our point. We obviously have dominated this team from Thailand. Let's move on. But that's all we're asking to do. We're only suggesting that let's just tone this down a bit. After you score six goals, enough already, you know?
But I think that's subjective, and
as someone
who has never scored a goal in a World Cup, I think that I would probably celebrate excessively.
Did you play soccer as a kid?
I did.
Okay, so then you have a sense of how difficult it is to score a goal, correct?
It was difficult for me, yes.
Well, I'm sure though you probably got great coaching, and I'm sure you I assume you got a lot of love and support from your parents when you played soccer.
Oh, no question. And that brings me to my next point, which is Happy Father's Day, Dad.
Thank you, Alyssa. I obviously was sort of stringing you along there. For those of my listeners here in the fan, that's Alyssa Wolf, who obviously is one of my three children with my beloved wife, Trish. And Alyssa, thank you for getting up early on this Father's Day to chime in. And, of course, most of you, many people know you, of course, as a great stand-up comic and comedy writer. So thank you. I know it's early on a Sunday morning for you to get up and call in. But that's very nice of you.
No problem.
But you're still wrong.
All right. We'll continue this discussion later.
Thanks, Alyssa. Talk to you later. Okay, love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Love you.
Yeah, that was a little respite there from all the back and forth here on the fan this morning. Let's continue on. Let's go to Mike in East Rockaway. Hey, Mike. Good morning. You're on the fan.
Hey, Rick. Happy Father's Day. That was great with your daughter. I'll tell you.
Wow. I didn't know. Listen, you know, she had said for some time she might just call in to say hello, but I'm glad she called today, and it was good to get her perspective. She actually was an excellent high school athlete. Her best sport was lacrosse, but
right.
Yeah, she's terrific. So
that's a comedian.
Yes.
Okay, cool. You know, Rick, I was thinking about Dad today. He would have been 91, 3 years he passed. He had the pleasure of meeting your dad a number of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn Dodger fan, Met fan. But, you know, real, this subject, Crystal Dunn went to Southside Rockwell Center, my dad's old school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the World Cup is great, but you're right, Rick. You know, enough is enough. When can, whether it happens against a certain country, I enjoy, I'm not a big soccer fan, but, you know, the Olympics and World Cup. But come on. Do we jump out of our seats when they're, you know, up by seven and then another two and here we go? That's like when we play ball, Rick, and I got to give a shout-out to my old coach, Bob Hirschfield, always a Marine.
Mm-hmm.
When you guys played against each other, 73 at Baldwin Park, ACBL, I was there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, when you run up the score, you know, shouldn't you put your second stringers in when it gets to that point?
Well,
you know,
they did have, the women's soccer team did basically put in their bench players. However,
right,
there are apparently rules and regulations as to how many substitutions you can put into a match in the World
right.
Cup. So they were somewhat limited. However, fine. Then, and I'm not going to suggest that the women just pass the ball amongst each other back and forth. No, because
right.
Clearly you want them to play hard because there is this rule about goal differential. And it is cool to score a goal in the World Cup, whether it's the winning goal in a 1-0 game or it's...
Without a doubt, yeah.
Or you score the 13th goal in a whitewash. But the fact is, come on, we're only talking about not just after the goal is scored. All right, enough already. You know, that's okay, we did it again. We scored another goal.
Right.
Let's move on, you know? So
enough already. In Italian, stata zit, enough is enough. And you know what? I'll leave you with this, Rick. Ralph Kiderism, longtime Met fan, classic games, and dad, rest in peace. But, you know, happy Father's Day, and excuse me, happy Father's Day and happy birthday to all the however it went. He's like Yogi-isms. But, Rick, I still listen to your show. My son's 24 now. Maybe I'll get a text from my 29-year-old daughter later. All right, Rick, all the best.
Thanks, Mike. Happy Father's Day to you.
Happy Father's Day, Rick.
You bet. And, you know, this is sportsmanship is, of course, one of those things that's at the foundation, one of the life lessons we want our kids to learn from when they play team sports, and the fact that's what we're talking about. Nobody's asking or suggesting that the women shouldn't play hard. Obviously, we want them to go out and give 100%. We want them to score goals. All we're suggesting is after you score the eighth goal or 10th goal or 12th goal, you know, call off the dogs. That's just sort of take it easy, celebrate, move on. Let's go back and kick off and try to score again. But don't celebrate, like I said, like it's New Year's Eve in Times Square. That's sort of running in the face of your opponent. All right, let me take a timeout. When I come back, I'll go right back to your calls. Stay with me. As always, I ask you to check out my website, my blog at AskCoachWolf.com. And a reminder that now is the time of the year that if you want to contact me to line up a sports parenting presentation in your school or in your community, now is the time to do that because obviously my calendar gets somewhat filled as we go throughout the summer into the fall. So check it out. Go to AskCoachWolf.com. Also, a very quick programming note. Tomorrow night at 10 on PBS, there's an excellent documentary entitled Roll Red Roll about the disturbing case we covered a few years ago here on the Sports Edge in Steubenville, Ohio, which is obviously a small town. It's very much centered on high school football. And their star quarterback and wide receiver were found guilty of technical rape of a drunken teenager. It was a classic case, again, of small-town mentality, along with social media going wild, and it all combined into a really just a horrible situation. And the quarterback, by the way, is now in college playing football again. I'm eager to see the documentary. Again, it's called Roll Red Roll. It's tomorrow night at 10 on PBS Channel 13. Okay, we're talking right now about sportsmanship, whether you think it was, you know, okay for the women's soccer players to celebrate so grandly after scoring 13 goals in the rout of Thailand, or whether you feel, as I did, that perhaps it's fine to score goals. Those are the rules in the World Cup, but the celebrations were a bit over the top. And I'm taking your calls at 1-877-337-6666. Let's go to our good friend Jack Smithen, the Hall of Fame coach over in Farallon. Jack, good morning. What do you think?
Well, first of all, Rick, happy Father's Day.
And to you.
And your daughter's segment was amazing. It was very good. It made the show. I was thinking, where the hell is he going with this? Were your parents good to you? I said, there's something up. But first of all, they definitely crossed the line.
Yep.
I coached for 43 years, and I was at both ends of the spectrum here.
Yep.
I was at times when we were pounding people or could have pounded people, and there were times where I was at the other end where I was getting pounded. And there's nothing worse than being at the end of a beating like that.
Mm-hmm.
First, real quick story. I was coaching softball at the high school level, varsity level. I was coaching at Park Ridge, and we were playing Creskill. And Creskill was a lower level team. I pitched my second pitcher against them, knowing that we were going to beat them. And on their team, they had a shortstop. I believe her name was Melissa, and her father was Rick Cerrone. And he stood in the back, leaning up against a tree, never got involved with anybody, never yelled or cheered or screamed or yelled at the umpires. He just sat back and he watched. And in the first inning, the top of the first inning, we scored 7 runs. And in the top of the second inning, I told my team to stop advancing on pass balls. We're not hitting and running. We're not going to bunt. Let them play the game. You get up and hit the ball, but we're not going to do anything. We're not going to steal. We're not going to do anything that's going to cause us to score runs because of their errors. And these were high school girls, and I understood what it meant and how it felt to be at that other end.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the game, I'm walking off the field, and Rick Cerrone came and he goes, "Coach, can I have a word with you?" I said, "Oh, boy, what did I do?" So I walked up to him, and he looked me in the eye, and he said, "Thank you." I said, "For what?" He says, "I noticed what you did." I said, "Well, Mr. Cerrone." He goes, "No, call me Rick." I said, "No, you were a Yankee. I'm not a Yankee fan, so I'll call you Mr. Cerrone." So he said, "You guys could have beaten us 30-0. I said, "I understand that, and I appreciate, you know, what you said. It means a lot." And, you know, celebrating is different. When people are out on that field, you know, there's one other thing other than sportsmanship we should think about, and it's respect. And, you know, they go together, but respect for that other team means a lot. And, you know, when you're losing 13-0, first of all, the goal differential thing, I think that's a joke. But if they're going to use it, there's teams in the World Cup that are not going to score 5 goals in the whole World Cup. So if you don't think 13 goals or even 5 goals are going to be enough to outscore an opponent in a tiebreaker, well, then you're absolutely wrong, because there's no other team in this tournament that's going to score 13 goals.
Yeah. Well,
so when you're thinking about this, it's just a crazy thing. They definitely crossed the line. They should not be celebrating on the 5th, 6th, 7th, or 8th goal in a game that the other team had problems getting the ball over midfield.
Yeah.
So, they definitely crossed.
I think, as always, my thanks for your comments, Jack.
You're more than welcome, Rick.
They're right on target, because as Jack Smithlin just points out, sportsmanship goes hand in hand with respect. And you know, whether the women's soccer players, maybe they didn't have any intention to disrespect the team from Thailand, the fact is, when they're celebrating so much, it's disrespectful. And you can say, "Oh, no, it's fine." And afterwards, we went over and we consoled the goalkeeper for the team from Thailand. Yeah, but the fact is, enough already. Score your goals, play hard. You know, yeah, that's great, but just tone it down a bit, because it sends a very bad taste. At least that's how I see it. Let's get some more opinions. Let's go to Morgan over in Manasquan, New Jersey. Hey, Morgan, you're on the Fan.
Hey, great show and really cool topic. And I'm in total agreement with you, and even further so. I'm one of these guys. I'm a baseball, football, hockey fan.
Yep.
And soccer, I'm like, whatever.
Right.
This pushed away. And I look at that, and I'm like, it like kind of makes me as a casual fan look at it and go, screw that sport. You know, that's garbage. Like that and the flopping, like there's a lot of things that work against them on the macro scale.
Yes.
And to me, these are things that do that push potential fans like me away. Maybe they don't want me. I don't know.
Well, no, this is the flopping, of course, that issue is it's happens, you know, pretty much every soccer match, and it happens internationally, and the officials and refs on the field do their best, but it's how do you know if somebody's really hurt? How do you know we make the determination whether or not that it's legitimate or not? And as we said,
my answer to that is slow motion. It always gives it up.
That's true, but obviously the way the clock works, they don't stop and then go back and review things. But
no, and I know that, but I'm also saying from a macro point of view, people see that.
Yeah.
See this flopping and see this celebration. And I actually like that they have the goal differential thing, because I like when teams compete the entire game rather than pull up.
Yeah,
I like that, but I think you got to do it with class.
That's the thing, Morgan, and I think that's the key here, is that you win, you play hard. I mean, these women are superior athletes. They're very competitive. Clearly, to them, if they're on the soccer field, they're going to go out and score goals as many as they can, because that's what they're trained and empowered to do. And it is cool to tell your family and grandchildren at some point that you scored a goal in the World Cup, even if it was a 13th goal. But the fact is, once you do that, the question is, how do you react after the fact? You do it with some sense of dignity and class, and with some respect for the opposing team. Morgan, thank you. Let me move on to the other caller.
Hey, one more quick point.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Did you ever see the Seinfeld where Kramer is in the karate classes and he's beating up all the fifth graders?
Yes, it's a classic.
To me, that's what this reminded me of. They were being bullied.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess so.
We're state-sponsored soccer. It's not like, you know, you got big America versus little Thailand.
Cool. Yeah. Well, nobody. I don't think anybody's ever referred to Seinfeld before on the show, but I like that. That's very funny.
I think it was apropos.
It is. Thanks, Morgan. Appreciate it. And yes, that Seinfeld episode, classic, where Kramer, of course, is competing, and obviously he's competing against a bunch of kids at elementary school, but he takes it very seriously. All right. I'm sort of encouraged by the response we're getting this morning about this because, yeah, on one hand, we want the women to go out, play by the rules, compete, try to score as many goals as you can. That's what the World Cup is all about. Those are the rules they set. But again, the question is, at what point do you sort of like try to begin to tone down the celebration? You don't do it in the first goal, not in the second or third, but once you get to 7 or 10, it's just okay, enough already. All right, let me take a timeout. I'll be back. Stay with me. Well, let me just sort of end the show on these observations. And again, I sort of opened the hour in the same way. And that is that, you know, even though, yes, I know it's the World Cup and we want our women to go out and win the gold and compete at a high level, there's something to be said, even at the highest level of soccer competition, about respect and sportsmanship. And I understand that the rules are that you're supposed to go out in the first round and score as many goals as you possibly can. But again, at some point, a sense of decorum, of common sense, and of protocol sort of should kick in and suggest to either the players themselves, who obviously are veterans and have been probably, I'm sure, have played in many soccer matches where there were big scores and a lot of routes, that, you know, at some point you have to sort of tone down not the effort to score the goals, that's not what I'm talking about, but the celebrations after the fact. That's the concern. Tone it down. Just imagine the tables were turned and somebody was beating the American team by 13 goals and they were going out and celebrating after every score like it was, New Year's Eve on Times Square. No, calm down a bit. Go out, work hard, score your goals, but show a little respect and show a little dignity for your opponent. Because in the long run, we know every game, one day is you win, some days you lose, but the fact is you always want to have that sense of good sportsmanship and respect for the opposing team. And that's how I see this, and I appreciate all your calls this morning about this topic. Okay, that's going to do it for me in this edition of the Sports Edge. My thanks this morning to Connor Green. Happy Father's Day. I'll see you next week right here on the Sports Edge.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.